Had my eye on you a long time, Doctor. I consider you one of my most valuable long-term investments. And when it comes to my investments, I always do my homework.
All aboard!
Song for the intro. I feel like Jarrett might have rode in on the crazy train this morning.
It did.
It's the red shirt. I think a bull might have been following him. I'm not sure.
That's right.
So we have quite a few questions. Before we get to those questions, let's give you a way that you can contact us. You can email us questions at drgene@hensler.com. That's spelled H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R. And if you... Are you kidding me? You're going to tell me that I misspelled? It's H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R.
You did it perfect. I love
Come
it.
Come on, Jared.
You were on it today. I love it.
Come on, Jared. And if you can spell that, you can actually find us in major social media outlets, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can figure it out for yourself.
Twitter.
And we have an awesome website. There's lots of information on our website. Jarrett probably provided some of it, and then he probably punted most of the rest of it to his friend, as he did maybe earlier in the show. Not that we're calling him out for anything. You can contact us that way. You can also give us a call, 770-429-9166. You'll talk to a real person and ask them your question. It will be read and answered on the air. Or you can call us at our question hotline, 1-855-429-9166, and that will have a recording. You record your question, we read it back, or we play it
on
there,
answer
the question. So we do have one this week. Our good friend Bill Murray has asked us, most investors have accumulated a hefty treasure of unrealized gains so far this year. Are they waiting until 2018 to realize gains, hoping for better tax treatment? Do you expect a January surprise? My short answer is that it's really difficult to manage for taxes. The way that most people do it is just kick it down the road. If you don't have to pay it this year, a lot of folks like to do exactly as you're saying, Bill, maybe whether they're waiting on regulatory changes or not. This is a little bit different. There's a lot of talk about potential for changes, to be honest with you. We talked about it earlier in the show. There's been lots of promise, and a lot has changed, as you said, Jarrett. Mm-hmm. One of the things is, though, the big ones seem to keep falling flat.
Right.
So it's hard to say if we will get any sort of regulatory change, but
That's what I would say to Bill. It's completely speculative. Yes, there is that possibility, as there has always been, and maybe not as likely as it is now, but at the end of the day, I think unless you have taken a lot of gains already in the year, then maybe you do wait, because you don't want to really extend. When we sell for gains, we tell people we set aside the proceeds, right? We don't want those tax decisions to drive the investment decisions.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, whether it's this year or next year, you might incur more tax this year. And if that's going to put you into a higher bracket, particularly the highest bracket, which would then affect the long-term capital gains rate that you pay, then maybe you do hold off until next year. But I think being that you're going to pay the tax either way, and sure, there's a possibility of it being lower, we tend to plan for what we know, not for what we don't, and certainly hope for the best. And so what a lot of times we'll do is maybe we take half the gains now and half the gains next year after we've given it some time to see how that kind of shakes out. But look, I wouldn't try to speculate on what is going to happen with the tax code, because that's exactly what it is speculation. And, if these are long-term gains you're talking about, Bill, then those are not ones that are highly taxed right now, I would say relatively so.
Especially if you're not in the top bracket.
Yeah, exactly. And if for some reason you happen to be in one of the lower ones, for those of you that don't know, if you do happen to find yourself in the 10 or 15% bracket, you may not even pay any capital gains on you know, ones that are long term, because that's a 0% rate if you're in one of those brackets. And so it really is circumstantial too, depending on, like I said, what have you incurred year to date. If you have no capital gains taken year to date, then maybe it does make sense to go ahead and take some at the 15% rate. If you get lucky and that goes down some, well then great, but at least you want to keep your portfolio in line, which is one of our main concerns.
Sure.
When clients do want to kick the can down the road, as you said, Troy, is that those, you know, let's say the companies continue to grow and these gains do then start to get exasperated, and now you find yourself with huge gains in a year that, you know, let's say these positions that you have gains in next year need to be sold because something happens, and that you'd be better off not owning it than trying to minimize the tax. I would just go ahead and at least take part of it at the rates where they are right now, because I think they're still reasonable, and then hope for the best and take the rest next year if that does happen.
Have we seen any January surprises in the last, I mean, few years? Obviously, it's not a huge talk of tax reform every year, so that's maybe some of the question is generated from, what's the expectation for the market? You know, is the market going to go down because everybody's going to try to wait until January to take their gains? And I think that might be kind of what he's getting at here, is what's the market's reaction going to be if investors decide that it's a good time to pull money off the table, either for tax reasons or some other reason? I guess, yeah. You know, Troy, you can probably speak better to whether the January effect is a real phenomenon or if it's just kind of coincidental.
Yeah, some people say that it's based in some folks say that it's based on the fact that there's window dressing at the end of the year for mutual funds and that sort of thing. Mutual funds become less and less of an issue as we go along, and to that point, you know, if we're talking about making investment decisions based on taxation, again, you know, we'd rather not let the tax tail wag the investment dog. In fact, I've over the last few months talked so much about valuation in the market and how the market's selling at a premium. Your stock portfolio is very likely out of balance when you've got technology that's appreciated over 25% while the overall market's up, 14-15%. So I would still encourage people to go ahead and rebalance, do what they can to get their portfolio back in line. What it's going to do is make you sell some of the winners, probably buy some losers, just to rebalance your portfolio. I think that's probably a safer bet, because you're then also very likely to be averaging down the premium on your portfolio. I think it makes a lot of sense. The other thing, before we leave this, now we're only talking about, if you're dealing with taxes, it's only the brokerage accounts, your taxable accounts that you're dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't invest in a active strategy where you're buying something that's not exactly the market, so you're not using exchange traded funds or low cost mutual funds that mimic specifically the market, what do you think is going to happen this year? If your ETF is up 16%, how much rebalancing might your portfolio need? Maybe minimal. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that when I look at the S&P 500, and I did this a few weeks ago, I looked at it again this week. The S&P 500 made up of approximately 500 stocks. There's 505 at the moment. It's just some of its dual share classes and that sort of thing that are still represented. But 127 companies trading on the S&P 500 are still negative year to date. So if you have a portfolio that's made up of stocks within that index, it's very likely that not everything that you own, even though it might be up 14 or 15%, everything you own may not be positive. And I know that is the case with quite a few of the model stocks that we recommend.
Mm-hmm.
That being the case, it gives you that opportunity to actually increase your after-tax returns by selling those stocks that are at a loss.
Yep.
To realize that loss, sit out for 31 days, buy it back at the end of that 31 days, and you've managed your tax bill lower.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in that case, when would you want to take the loss? Well, would want to take the loss when you have the bigger tax bracket, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And in doing so, you can offset some of the gains, you know, if you manage it precisely. So, like I say, you know, something you can't do if you're following the passive strategy, where you just buy an exchange traded fund based on the an index, generally the S&P 500, and you call it a day. So
that's just another advantage of the individual stocks over those types of passive index funds. Especially, obviously, for a taxable account. In an IRA, you don't get that same advantage, but just it gives you a lot more flexibility to be able to control the tax situation, harvest your losses, decide when to take gains, you know, that kind of thing. So, obviously, now is a good time to start looking at what your tax situation is. What kind of, you know, are you real close to being kicked into another bracket that may, you know, take some deductions off the table and that type of thing? Obviously, tax planning this time of year is very important, and you should get with your CPA and try to iron some of those issues out before we get to the end of the year.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a good time to start thinking about that. Guys, we've had a lot of fun. Let's press on with what we've been dealing with, some questions from listeners. We actually have one this week that is on our question hotline, so let's hear from Felix and his question about Walmart.
Hi, this is Felix from Marietta. I believe we'll see a strong shopping season during the holidays. While I'm not a market timer, I do believe in good stocks at opportune times. I'm looking at Walmart and Target, both companies that I could see holding for a long time. Any other stores I should consider?
All right. There you go, Felix. Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't really like to make an investment decision on something so short-term as, you know, the holiday shopping season. But I do like what's been going on at Walmart lately. They've really changed their focus. About a year ago, I guess, they started talking about bringing back the department managers so that they could have a little bit of control on what goes on within the individual departments within Walmart. They also made a huge push toward e-commerce, and that's actually been working out. Their e-commerce sales have been up about 60% recent quarters, mainly due to the fact that they bought Jet.com, and they add thousands of items to their online e-commerce website on a just about a daily basis. So it's growing. They're doing this to compete with
Amazon
and other e-commerce retailers. And if you look at what's been going on with a lot of the box stores, a lot of them have been losing when it comes to same store sales over recent quarters. Walmart's one of the few. I think their same store sales were up 1.7% recently, as many of the others seem to be just suffering from either not having a presence or coming in too late with e-commerce initiatives. So a lot of good things happening with Walmart. If you look at Target, they're also trying to move in that direction, but they are among those that that got quite a late start. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can actually make a comeback against Amazon and now Walmart as well. In that space, but you know,
brick and mortar. I mean, Walmart seems to be best positioned. If anybody's going to be able to compete with Amazon,
right?
Seems like Walmart is trying to go toe to toe. So
yeah, they'd definitely be the better long term play, right? I mean, relative to Target, anyways. And he asks, are there any other stores he should consider? I don't know. I mean, in that space, when you're talking about those two, is there other ones that you guys looked at? I mean, I know Walmart is one of our model holdings.
Yeah.
You know, how does that compare to other peers? What are the other peers?
Well, that's the thing, is there's very few at this point. You get some specialty bigger stores, but you know, in a lot of ways, Walmart can even cover those. Some of the stores that I do like, and it's one that we recommend to clients, is Ross Stores, and it's a different model. They're not buying directly from the manufacturer until it's kind of a, you know, they go in and buy up wholesale items that were overstocked or those kinds of things. So you wind up, you never know what you're going to find when you go in a Ross store.
Right.
But reality is the discounts are deep and the brand, it's brand name products. So they have, they've kind of got a spot that seems very well defensible, I guess.
Yeah, and you got to expect that if we get into a bad economy, that kind of model would hold up better than some of these, you know, more lavish retailers. So it's a kind of a defensive play for a retail, you know, consumer discretionary type holding.
Right. Yeah. So again, I mean, we like Walmart not as much Target, and we believe that Walmart's well positioned to grow given the changes in the environment that we've had lately. All right, guys, we got a few more questions here. Here's one. Donovan from Alpharetta says, I saw that Coach rebranded itself to Tapestry after the acquisition of Kate Spade and Stuart Weitzman. Stock fell on the announcement of the rebranding. While I think the rebranding dip is temporary, I'm unsure of Coach's new acquisitions. I don't think they really diversify the brand. There's still semi-luxury brands that hit the same demographic as Coach. What is your outlook for the company? Actually, we owned Coach. We recommended Coach not long ago, but we did move away, and I'll be the first to tell you, we have not had the best of successes in owning things in the fashion industry outside, and it's not
so
really
surprising.
Fashion.
I mean, we're so fashion forward.
Well, here's the thing, and not only, well, yeah. You and Jared, at least.
Clearly.
Well, it's like raw stores, you just said it.
Yeah.
You go in there,
there you go.
Rack up.
Yeah. You know? Rack up.
Rack up.
That?
See what you did there.
We'll go there.
Yeah, that was artful. We'll just leave it there. anyway, we
the
have
luxury
owned,
brand. Do luxury brands in general really do? I've not seen any luxury brands like Coach really do that well across the board. I mean,
they've had, you know, spotty, sporadic positive performance, but they just seem the tastes of those consumers seem so fickle and hard to. Hard to pin down as to which one's going to be the best mm-hmm. 6 months from now. It's not so much, you can't look backwards for sure and assume that the recent winter is going to continue.
It's just so discretionary. You know, I mean,
it's
like the first
Absolutely.
Place to cut expenses yeah. when things get a little tough.
Well, I will tell you, we've had Vanity Fair quite a long time. You know, VFC, VF Corporation,
yeah.
VFC's the ticker, and it's done well, but it's not at all. You know, the high end of fashion. We're talking about Lee jeans and Wrangler jeans, some of the other names.
They sell to the majority,
JanSport.
Right? I mean,
yeah, exactly. They're selling to every man, not the
one percenters.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that Coach is a one percenter, but, you know, at the same time, I tend to want to avoid the space where I've been beaten up so badly in the past, and this is one of them. So we look at it. It's something interesting to watch. But as far as Coach, and they're rebranding the Tapestry, I don't necessarily understand that, but I'll be the first to tell you I'm not the marketing guy. You know, Tapestry is going to mm-hmm. be better than Coach.
Coach seemed like a strong brand. I'm not sure. I've not been able to really find anything that made a whole lot of sense to me. Just the short time we've been able to read about it since this news came out. But, you know, Coach itself seems – why did we get rid of it in the first place? I mean, I know it had not done well. Clearly that was
that
a factor.
Was, yeah.
But ultimately the – I guess prospects for the future, were they also bleak? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, once consumer tastes seem to turn away from you, you might have a brand for quite a long time, but growth is, you know, becomes questionable, and that's mm-hmm. exactly, you know, what happened here. So, you know, when it comes to Coach, yeah, you know, it wasn't. There was a time when every woman had to have a Coach purse, right?
Right.
And then Michael Kors came along and knocked them off that pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell you who's doing it right now, but the reality is it's just a really fickle space, one
yeah.
you've got to stay right on top of. It's not like technology where they're really solving an issue for you, except for the fact that they got a cool-looking bag that you can hang on your shoulder. And I commend you on that, Jarrett. That's an awesome
one. I got a nice one.
You
know?
Yeah.
Right. I mess around the way I spend my money.
Of course. Yeah. I know.
My five kids are going to know
that's right.
know better
there
whenever they
go.
Grow up.
The two hot dogs for 50 cents is a great deal.
That's
and
right. That's why
never
I'm just
going to
be.
Right?
Mercedes-Benz Stadium is the only stadium we're going to. They got the most
Ever.
Reasonable. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? That is
you know
absolutely. I love that you brought this up.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Arthur Blank. That was a great idea, if you ask me. It might have cut his margins. It might have hurt things a little bit. But I think the quantity, it's kind of like what we're talking about here with Coach and Ross Stores. You know, Ross probably does better because they're selling to every man. And while the margins might be smaller because they're selling so much more of it, it makes more sense. I think it's the exact same thing with the new stadium here in Atlanta, that, you know, selling the hot dogs for the reasonable price of, what are they down there? I haven't gotten one.
It's, I think but it's $2 it's, for a hot dog.
Yeah, what you might expect at a park, you know. I mean, it's not the $6 that you find at some stadiums or something like that. I think it was actually a great decision, personally.
Yeah, I agree. Having Atlanta United probably helped a lot. Mark it up or down, KC?
I'm going to say up.
I'm going with flat.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think that's
here we go.
All right. Money Talks. We'll see you next week.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.